you know, you want to push them to their limits, but never let them fall. Push them as far. Once they start getting good at something, push them out of their comfort box just a little bit more, but never let them fall.
Hey everyone, Evan the Paramedic Coach here. Welcome back to the Paramedic Coach Podcast. Boy, do I have a treat for you today. Probably one of my best friends, honestly, in this EMS industry. I got Mike Borrello on the call here today. And this podcast, this video, it's going to be all about Mike, what he's doing with his channel, Heroes Next Door. We got a lot to share with you. And if you don't know Mike, a little bit about him, I'll have him kind of introduce himself here in a second. But been a paramedic for a very long time, definitely someone I really respect in this industry. And look forward to the call today and sharing a lot with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me on, Evan. You know, we've done stuff in the past, but it's always good to refresh, catch up, and see how each other are doing. So for the viewers that haven't seen that in the past, my name is Mike Borrello. I'm the paramedic coach's friend and cohort in YouTube area. That's my genre. And I host a YouTube channel called Heroes Next Door. And what I do is I travel the country and hopefully the world, and I highlight fire, police, and EMS stations all over the world. I do a couple of buckets within that. The two top buckets that we do are station cribs, station rigs, where we walk around, show the houses where you guys are all at, and show you what, you know, the community is doing in that area. I also do a day in the life. I do some ride-alongs, you know, all kinds of different stuff. Basically, the whole point of Heroes Next Door is to get a better awareness of the public service across America. You know, I've been doing this for almost 30 years. I started back in 1994 as an EMT, worked my way up as a medic. I've done some firefighting, I've had a pretty good career. I've done some volunteering. I still volunteer as a firefighter. But what I've noticed is a lack of interest or even understanding of what public service is about. You know, as I travel the country, volunteerism across the board has gone down, and even recruitment and retention for new providers, whether that's police departments, fire departments, or EMS crews, we're lacking the personnel to fill the positions. And that's kind of the reasons why I wanted to use social media to help gain awareness to the next generations or even some of the older generations that may not understand that they can still, you know, help out their communities by volunteering at their local EMS, fire, or police station.
So, yeah, like Mike was saying here, you know, definitely got to check out Station Cribs. The content that you provide with that is amazing. And this is my first question for you here, Mike, is, like, what happened? Like, how did you, you know, kind of start this whole idea to what you built today, where you're literally traveling around the whole United States, going to firehouses, you've done fire, you've done police, you've done EMS, you've done interviews. Like, how did you, you know, go from, okay, I'm locally working as a paramedic to I'm going to always have all these connections, be traveling around? Like, how did all this kind of start? And we can start there, then we'll kind of build up to where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a loaded question because it took a long time. You know, working in EMS and getting up in age, I'm now hitting 50, 51 in March. I know I can't do this forever. I've seen some of my partners, you know, either get hurt or age out. And, you know, I had to figure out what I wanted to do with my life other than just being a street paramedic. Not saying that's a bad thing. I absolutely love being a street paramedic, but it comes to the point where it's hard on your body. It's hard on your sleep schedule and so forth. So what I ended up doing is I went back to get my education. You know, obviously I had my paramedic national registry. I had my pro boards for my fire, but I didn't have any of the undergrad or graduate stuff. And I went back to school. I got my undergrad in public safety administration, and I got my master's in organizational leadership. The reason I did that is because I wanted to become basically an EMS chief somewhere and start affecting it that way. You know, just kind of working with a local company, giving them a clear understanding of change, how to move forward, and basically raise the bar of expectations rather than lower the bar of expectations. That's where I kind of started. But in that, you know, I'm also, you know, 51 years old. I have two grown children, and my oldest one got married. And she married a YouTuber, to be honest. That's where YouTube really, you know, sparked my interest. You know, I teased him for a long time and say, you know, that's not a real job. But, you know, he's a camera guy. He's a filmer. He's an editor, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm like, Tell me more about this. How does this all work? I don't quite understand that. You know, my generation, Generation X, we've had the best of both worlds, the, you know, before technology and during technology, but I wasn't real clear on how social media works and what it's all about and how it actually can affect, you know, thousands, if not millions of people across the world. So we sat down for about 2 years. We spoke in regards to setting up some kind of program, because even him at the age, I think at 24, when he married in, he really didn't understand what was going on. And he lived down the street from us, you know, in another town just away from us. So, you know, he told me a story that he was driving to work multiple days and passed a firehouse that has a big old billboard out there that says volunteers wanted. And he had no idea that he was even qualified to be a volunteer for a fire company. And I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of the whole point. And so we got to talking, and he's like, wow, I had no idea this was actually in my backyard, actually just down the street from his house. And he passed it every day. So, you know, one thing led to another. We developed a business plan. And I, you know, realized pretty quickly that being an EMS chief for a small department in a local community in rural Pennsylvania or whatever isn't going to be as effective as it can be if I took on the social media aspect and got onto platforms like YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, whatever I can do to reach out to those people and try to raise that bar of expectations. So we developed a plan and we launched in March of 2020, right during COVID. Not the best place, time, or to start a new business, but it actually worked pretty well for us. We grew rather quickly. Harrison is phenomenal. That's my son-in-law. He did a lot of the footwork, the behind-the-scenes stuff of the actual editing, the filming, and I was just a front man. I was the contact. I have the 30 years worth of experience, so I know the equipment. I know what to expect. I've done it. I worked it. I know how to speak to a lot of the guys where he didn't know that. So we were a really good partnership together. And then we just went from there. We started doing station cribs. I started telling stories, to be honest with you, in my garage of my career and the things that I've had challenges with, some of the funny stories, some of the, you know, the sadder stories. I talked about all those kind of things and people started watching, you know, and fortunately it continued to build from there. And as of, I think, yesterday, we hit, you know, just over 91,000 subscribers on the channel.
Let's go, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, that's, yeah, it's pretty similar because I did a similar thing around 2020 is when I really went all in on paramedic coach. And here we are now, right? So it's funny. We had a similar trajectory there with both our companies. So that's really awesome. So this I got to touch on because you've mentioned this twice. So let's go this route next. You mentioned about the sign with the volunteers wanted. Earlier you talked about how, you know, of lack of recruitment, you know, lack of retention, stuff like that. You know, if there's any, you know, EMS leadership watching, right? For example, or even somebody who maybe wants to be a part of EMS or fire leadership, what are some pearls, some tips you can give in that realm of getting more volunteers or recruitment or better retention? I mean, you've been in more firehouses than probably most people. So I'm curious on your insight on that.
Yeah, well, that's a twofold kind of thing. Retention is different than recruitment. Recruitment is exactly what it is. It's not just putting a sign up and saying, hey, we need more volunteers. It's actually physically doing the work, putting the boots on the ground and going out and talking to the communities, talking to the board of supervisors or wherever you're at, going to community events, whether they have a turkey run for Thanksgiving or, you know, some Christmas thing, getting in parades. It's putting up booths during, you know, college days. It's going to schools and, you know, really reaching out to the senior people of senior high and saying, hey, here's a option for career. And here's how you can get started. So it's really a lot of footwork. It's almost a full-time job in itself as far as recruitment. But with that, you have to have the follow-up for that retention. You can get them in the door, but if you don't treat them right or you don't have the things that they want to have, it's going to be very, very hard for you to keep a hold of them. So you're going to go out, put the boots on the ground, like I said. You're going to, you know, go to the different events, recruit, you know, talk face to face with these people, explain to them what they're doing, how they can benefit their community, how it can benefit them. Because a lot of them are like, well, what's in it for me? You know, why should I volunteer and that kind of stuff? Well, there's a lot that can be said when you're volunteering, whether that's personal growth on your education. I can go to a firehouse not having any experience and learn how to drive a fire truck, how to pump a fire truck, how to work with tools that I may never work before, how to, you know, organize a leadership when you have a large scene and you have to have multiple, you know, ways to communicate between different personalities and stuff like that. You learn all that stuff for free by volunteering in a firehouse. And you can take it as fast or as slow as you want as you move into a firehouse or an EMS station. But recruitment is one thing, that retention is a whole different ballgame. Retention is, you know, understanding that yes, there is culture, there is a worldview that your company has. And you have to be inclusive for those new people coming in. You have to be able to adjust. If you're sticking with the good old boys club, you're not going to keep them. You may get them in there at first. You'll maybe keep one or two that, you know, fit into that good old boys club. But you have to be able to say, you know what? We as a company have to be able to constantly change what we're doing and bring in new ideas in order to involve the next generations. They have to have that ownership, just like you had ownership as leader. To move in, they have to start feeling some of that ownership and that responsibility for them to feel like they're connecting.
By clicking in the first link in the description, you get lifetime access to my Video Vault program. The Video Vault includes over 480 videos of content and now holds over 2,000 national registry practice test questions.
I think you pretty much hit that right in the money there with that. And that leads me to the next point I want to kind of bridge on that is I remember one of the episodes I watched on your channel, and I remember it was, I'm trying to remember the right terminology for it, but essentially what it was there was a ton of benefits that you kind of went over that people had no idea about when it came to, oh, if you volunteer, you get X, right? I believe there was the live-in program, that's what it was, the live-in program. I believe that was the title of the episode. So I have a lot of people on my channel that they're not even EMTs. Maybe they're just interested in being a first responder. They're not sure what route they want to go. You know, I remember when I first started, you know, I volunteered for 9 months before I even got my first paid EMT job. So I was in the same boat, was trying to get experience, trying to learn, you know, get my hands dirty and stuff. So I guess, what are some of the, you know, maybe hidden or not as known benefits of volunteering, number one? Number two, like, what have you seen from other departments that worked really well? And maybe you can share that with our audience as well.
Yeah. Again, it's a multifaceted, you know, question. But realistically, the benefits range from, you know, personal growth and experience to, you know, like I mentioned before, using new tools, learning new things. But also it can be almost a financial benefit also, because many of the firehouses put you on life insurance in case something happens. You got that. You have tax deductions that can happen when you volunteer. You have, you know, all those different kind of things financially that can go in with involved in that. But it also is a huge resume builder if you want to move on to other services. As you continue your career, you can definitely use a fire company. I don't want to say use and abuse, but you can use a fire company to get to your goals. Maybe you don't understand, like you and I, Evan, you know, early on, we're like, well, what do we want to do? Do I want to be an EMT? Do I want to be a medic? Do I want to be a firefighter? Get involved and start looking at the different things by helping out at that even basic level by doing, you know, a third on an ambulance. You're gonna get exposed to the different patients to see if you can handle it. You're gonna get exposed to how management is working, how the EMS system actually works. When you volunteer, even as a junior at a fire company, you can start learning skills like diving. You know, we just went to Pyrmont, New Jersey, and they're gonna get mad at me. Pyrmont, New York.
There we go.
Pyrmont, New York. And they did a phenomenal job with their cadet programs. And, you know, every Sunday they go out and they learn how to dive. They learn how to do rescues, high angle, and, you know, low angle and collapse and all kinds of skills that are really fun to do, but also are valuable to give back to the community. The other thing that you get that is a kind of a benefit, not financial, not necessarily personal growth, but emotional growth, is when you're walking around the neighborhood or you're, you know, going to the local Wawa or whatever to get your sub, you're going to run into some of those patients and they're going to turn to you and say, thank you. Thank you for being there for my mom, for my dad, for my daughter, my son, or whatever. And that, you know, not to say that's why we do it, but having that appreciation come back to you makes you feel good, you know, and that, you know, just spurs you on to do more for the community.
100%. And I feel like that's what kind of where a lot of people start, where it's like, you have one aspect of like, hey, you know, I really want to help people. And the other aspect of it is of, yeah, like you're the one with that high responsibility, like on that call. And that's exactly what I was thinking about, like when I first started EMS, like, and then, you know, 2 weeks into it, I was like, okay, I'm going all in and this is what I want to do, you know, but obviously you don't know until you get out there. And, you know, a lot of the things you talk about, third writing, stuff like that, totally makes a lot of sense.
Right. One thing I'll say real quick is I've had some students that have gone through whether they were, you know, we did zero to hero programs and they didn't necessarily stick with paramedicine. And I'm speaking directly in regards to a very good friend of mine. He's also now a medical director of mine. He started out, you know, working in IT. He transitioned to EMT just because he wanted to bridge that gap between IT and he wanted to write a program. But once he got into medicine, he's like, wow, this is really cool. And he advanced himself fairly quickly from EMT to paramedic to physician's assistant. And now as a physician, and those are the kind of things that you're going to benefit. When he got into medical school, having the experience of that EMT and paramedic made his studies so much easier when he went to become a doctor.
I love it. I love it. No, and same here, man. I mean, I've a ton of friends that kind of went a similar route, whether it's EMT to nursing or, you know, paramedic to PA and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's a very, very good point. It's like it can be a launching pad to a lot of different things. You know, obviously, like we wouldn't have the brands that we had if we never walked into EMT class the first day.
Right, right.
So it's like you never know where it's getting all kinds of different things. So
right. And I do a small speech on that in regards to the circle of life of EMS and stuff like that. It talks about, you know, why, where do we fit, you know, as far as EMT, paramedic, nursing, doctors, you know, healthcare in general, and how that all fits. And if you have a chance to go back and look at those, it kind of explains that a little bit clearer too.
I love it. I love it. So want to kind of circle back on my next question here. So we talked about more of the volunteer route. Let's kind of go into more of the, like the pay departments that you kind of visited. So the first question I have, this is a more of a personal question. I'm just curious. You've been in a lot of firehouses, right? You've seen a lot of different things, talked to a lot of different chiefs. You've probably, you know, seen it all different states. Does one particular, you know, moment or episode or even meeting someone kind of, you know, stick out to you the most? Or did you maybe see something at some fire department that really changed your mind? Wow, this is amazing what they're doing or what they've built. Anything coming to mind like that you can share with our audience that maybe hasn't
seen? There's a couple of them. I mean, each one is very unique, whether you go to the very small places like Hubble, Michigan, way up in the UP, and, you know, they got 19 volunteers. They bring a unique thing. But if you go to some of the bigger places, like I recently went to South Metro in Colorado. I also did Denver, Colorado, and I've done Adams County, Colorado during one of our trips. And those are all paid departments. And those paid departments are really setting the bar on what the expectations of what things should be as far as longevity, as far as taking care of their staff. What I really enjoyed about Adams County specifically is not just their building, which was huge. It was a 33,000 square foot building with training facilities incorporated in that. It had a beautiful lounge for everybody, a good view of the city. I mean, it just had everything that you want to go to work. You're like, dude, I could just hang out here I could live here.
There you go.
Above and beyond that, it was their administrative staff of those paid departments that really pay attention to their staff. They pay attention to their needs, to their sleep schedules, to the, you know, to the stresses that you get in the job. That's those administrative personnel pay attention to that. And they put little things in, such as circadian lights. You know, when the tones go off, not everybody goes, you know, wild with a large house tone, but it'll go to individual rooms. So you don't wake up different people. The lights come on slowly. They don't just all of a sudden, boom, a white light and open you up. The stairs going from, you know, sleeping quarters to the bay, they eliminated those, you know, so all these little minor details that the administration from a paid department pays attention to made a really big difference, even to the point of, you know, it's really healthcare, you know, cancer is huge. When we get into healthcare, for us as firefighters, we have all these carcinogens, we have all these biohazard stuff that we get into. You know, having a good decon room and a place to wash your clothes and get rid of the, you know, those contaminants that are on your gear is important. And having a paid service that, you know, says, hey, not only we're going to give you two sets of gear, but we're going to wash these quarterly. We're going to make sure they get sent out. But we also have extractors here. We have that kind of stuff. Makes a really big difference in why someone would go to a department and work there full time. It really comes down to the administrative staff understanding that they are there as administrators to take care of the people that are putting the boots on the ground and taking the calls.
I love it. That's really awesome. That's really awesome. I mean, obviously if every department had that, that'd be pretty game changing, right? And that kind of goes to the next part I'm going to get into. So we've talked about the volunteer, talked about paid. So now let's move on to the leadership side of things. So with that, you know, what kind of experience that you have, you know, let's say there's a lieutenant or captain or a chief of a volunteer department or paid department watching, you know, you can kind of build on that. I'm very curious what you got to say on this. You know, I guess what are some tips for people that are in a new leadership role, whether they're a firefighter paramedic or maybe they are, you know, lieutenant, captain in a fire department. What are some tips you've learned through education you can kind of pass on to them?
Sure. I'm a big believer on, you know, be the example, you know, of what's going on. So when you show up for work, you're on time. You know, for me, I'm half hour early, usually for shifts. You know, if I'm 15 minutes early, I'm a little bit late. If I'm on time, I'm definitely late. But be, you know, you want to be that example for everybody to follow. So you're following protocols, you're cleaning your trucks, you're taking care of your business, that kind of stuff. But also, I'm a big believer of leading from behind by allowing your staff to have ownership of their own responsibilities. Yes, you delegate out what needs to be done, but then allow them to do that job. You don't have to micromanage them. Most of them are, you know, either adults or becoming adults. You know, by the time they're 18, 19, 20 years old, some of them are older, but, you know, they're adults. They're learning how to do this and lead from behind rather than, you know, pull them forward. You're going to earn a lot more respect from your staff by allowing them to have ownership of whatever responsibility that is, whether that's your scheduling, whether that's truck maintenance, whether that's ordering supplies. Allow them to do that job and just guide them. Be there as a resource to them rather than you do the job and them follow you. I think that makes a huge difference on the staff morale and the accountability and everything else that goes on.
You literally just gave me a flashback to when I was doing my paramedic, like precepting as a new medic, because I remember probably the best preceptor I ever had back when I was 21. That's how he was. He was like, look, like you're in control, you do it. And I learned from that, right? That was my first kind of, oh, this is how it's done. This is how a good, you know, a good teacher or a good like leader should be. And yeah, literally when you said those words, it brought me right back to him, man. So yeah.
And the other thing with that, you want to push that crew, you know, you want to push them to their limits, but never let them fall. Push them as far. Once they start getting good at something, push them out of their comfort box just a little bit more, but never let them fall. Make sure that they understand that you're there to back them up. You have their back no matter what happens. You are supporting them. When you switch from being the guy that's, you know, hands-on with the patients or, you know, the hose in your hand to being that leadership, you switch to, I'm now a supportive staff to those people that are doing that. And if you can get that mentality understood, it's going to make your job so much easier as an administrator, but it's also going to make the company run so much more efficient.
I love it, dude. I love it. I couldn't agree more with anything that you said there. I love it. So the last question I got here is, what haven't we covered yet? So, you know, anything else that you want to kind of talk about, what you're doing with Heroes Next Door, things upcoming, some points we didn't touch on. Dude, I'm gonna give you the floor, man. The floor
okay.
is yours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heroes Next Door continues to build. We're doing lots of things. We're always constantly changing and moving things forward. Even, you know, I've gotten into video editing. So, you know, it's a little bit different than some of my paid editors. So we are doing lots of different things for this year. We have merchandise. We have 206 requests for us to go see different fire stations throughout the country right now. And there's probably more than that. I haven't gotten through all my emails, but we want to be able to get out there and get to these different places. But in order to do that, I need the finance to do that. I'm still a full-time firefighter paramedic. You know, Heroes Next Door is technically my part-time job. So I have to have the time off to do that. I have to have the travel money to do that. But, you know, I'm looking for, you know, sponsorships. I'm looking for those people that are willing to help me out, whether that's by just watching my videos as viewers. That definitely helps me out because I get AdSense from that. We recently launched a members page on our channel, which will help out. It's, I think, $4.99 a month to join as a member. You're going to get film that you've never seen before. It's stuff that we've never, you know, posted. I have a ton of material that hits the cutting room floor. You know, my editors are great, but sometimes I'm like, wow, dude, I said that. This was awesome. Why didn't that include it? And he's like, well, it really didn't go with the storyline. I'm like, put that in. So those kind of things are going to come back around. Even if it's a station that, you know, you may have seen before as far as the station cribs or station rigs, you may see some of that other stuff before because it hit the cutting room floor and I want to give that back. We're also creating its own kind of storyline. So, you know, a little bit of day in the life, shorter versions. We're going to start working on some more shorts. So if you're, you know, bored and you're in line, you know, waiting to drop off your patient, you want to just thumb through stuff, we're going to be working on that also. But personally, I have taken on a responsibility of potentially creating a consulting service. Evan, you and I have been talking about it for a little while now. And, you know, after doing this for now, you know, 4 years, seeing my 30-year career, seeing my education, having master's in organizational leadership, I feel that I can be a service to some of those companies out there that are struggling, whether they're struggling with recruitment, retention, whether they're struggling with, you know, they're going to put a new building up and they need to know how to put that together and what architects to use and, you know, what are the rules and regulations from the NFPA and all that kind of stuff. I have that kind of knowledge that I would love to share it, for those companies that are struggling. So I'm creating H&D Consulting. It's still in development right now, but hopefully within the next couple of months, we're going to have a consulting service that if you are out there and your company is struggling and you need some advice, we can either set up a Zoom call to start with, or I can come out. I can come out for an extended period of time if we work that out. I can give you a short thing. So, lots of different options, but I want to be able to share the knowledge that is all up in here that sometimes, you know, keeps me awake at night. I want to share that with the people that are out there. I want to get out of that idea of this is my sandbox and this is the only sandbox I'm going to deal with and say, hey, no, here's a different way to do that. Some things work for some places, some things don't, and I understand that. What may work here on the East Coast doesn't work in the Midwest. Even the things we call stuff are a little bit different. So, but with that being said, I've seen well over 150, 200 stations, you know, in the last 4 years. And, you know, I've seen a lot of things that I want to give back. You know, if they haven't seen on my channel or watched any of the other things, or they want more details, H&D Consulting is a place that they can get that.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say is if you are anyone out there from thinking about being in EMS or you're somebody out there who's in EMS, go subscribe to this man's channel and let's get him over that 100K subscriber mark. And I'm telling you, you watch your First Station Cribs and you're going to be hooked. That's number one. Number two, I actually found out that the video we did like think 3 years ago is in your members area. So
yeah.
Who is the paramedic coach? So if you want to see that, be a member there and check it out. And for any of my friends or colleagues watching, if you have a company, perhaps we preach. I've done it. Like I've done sponsorships with Mike myself. I put that towards towards Mike, and it's done amazing. So if you're out there, you're a company, yeah, equipment, something different, get a sponsorship with Mike. I've done it several times now. It's been incredible. Thanks so much for being on the channel, my friend. And
yeah, my pleasure. It's always nice talking to you. Collaborations is definitely the key for success.
Yeah, and I'll make sure to put pretty much every link that you give me, I'm putting it down below in the description. So one of the links down there you'll see will be all Mike's stuff. I'll put like Heroes Next Door or something like that. So you'll see the YouTube, all his links, stuff like that. And what's the best way if somebody wants to get a hold of you like right now? Is Instagram, Facebook, Messenger?
The easy way is actually email, to be honest. Email? I check my email constantly. I'm one of those guys that don't like the little number up in the top. So I'm always checking it to make sure it's clear. Okay. And the email is watchheroesnextdoor@gmail.com. It's very simple. That's the easiest way. I kind of track that every day. And you know, that will start the conversation. If anybody wants us to come out and take a look at their station, all I ask is include name and contacts of who can approve it to make sure it's good, location, address, so I can kind of plan my logistics of travel, and a very brief description of what you want to highlight, whether it's the station, whether it's the rigs, whether it's some of your training that's coming up or whatever like that, maybe a big event. Put that in there too, and then we can start working on the schedule and get you on the show.
Well, enjoy the content, folks. I'll see you over at Heroes Next Door. I'll see you here back on the Paramedic Coach channel, and I'll see you guys next time.